Thanks for hanging out with us today. Any weekend claim to fames?
Does working out and watching a lot of TV count for this weekend?
Yes, because you should feel proud of yourself. I did not leave my house.
Oh, my God.
I did not leave.
To fame.
I did not leave since I got home from work Friday night until this morning when I came to work.
Whoa.
Jealous.
That's pretty bad.
That's good.
Well, that's a winner for weekend claim to fame. I can't claim that, Grant.
No.
How about you?
No, I did a little Barbie party bus Friday night, which was fun. The theme was great.
I
was baseball Ken. So I just wore a baseball jersey with some baseball pants. And
perfect.
That's a fun idea, though, you got to admit.
It was good. Everybody dressed up in different versions of Ken and Barbie. It was fun. And the bus was pink, too, which the whole bus was pink, which made for even more of a fun experience. But did that. And then on Saturday, went out and saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which, like I said, if you were a fan of any bit of the 80s ones, this one rings nostalgic. The story's basic. It doesn't take away. It doesn't get too, you know, CGI. It really kind of like keeps the same effects from the 80s, you know. So that was fun. And then basically went grocery shopping after that and sat in my house from Saturday night till right now. So I did partially what you did, just only half the weekend.
Oh, jeez. I left that in my house to work out. That's really all I
did. That's a good reason, because then you felt good about yourself. I didn't leave the couch. I went from upstairs to downstairs to remote to
bus to remote. Exercise.
I got a couple steps in. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This is the story that is a weekend claim to fame story, because it hit the Wall Street Journal on Saturday. And about last fall, I started hearing from some of my friends in Duluth about this woman, part of the Karga family, who's buying up all these properties on Park Point. Now, if you're not from Duluth, just know this about Duluth. Park Point is, Duluthians feel pride and ownership for all of the Point, Minnesota Point. You know, there's a Wisconsin Point, you know, on the Wisconsin side, but
it's where the lift bridge goes up, and it's
up
that
and
little
down.
Island.
And, you know, there's a picnic pavilion there. The beach is all public along there, even if there is a house along there. There's 2 weeks every year in August where the lake warms up that you can actually go in without gasping, and people have picnics and reunions.
It's beautiful.
It's just a beautiful, beautiful place. So this has been people have been wondering, who is this lady and why is she buying all these houses and taking them down?
On Park Point.
And a couple of my friends called me last fall, wondered if I could dig into it as a radio person.
No, you're a journalist.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, esteemed journalist.
I go, well, I don't know, but I'm curious too.
Right.
And so on Saturday, this apparently peeved member of the billionaire Cargill family told the Wall Street Journal, because I think like 2 weeks ago, the new mayor of Duluth, sent her a letter. What are your plans?
Right.
You've bought like however many houses and taken down 3/4 of them. You just raised them.
Oh.
Okay, so this is the kind, you know.
Yeah, like kind of scary. What's happening?
It kind of like Kensington Palace handled all of the Princess Kate thing, you know. Unnecessary speculation and rumor mongering in light of what people can see in front of them.
Sure.
Okay, so she gave an interview to the Wall Street Journal, and it made it all the way across to some of the tabloids and papers in Britain.
And this is Mrs. Cargill, or
one, like Kathy Cargill, I guess.
Okay.
She said to the Wall Street Journal, I think an expression we all know, don't pee in your Cheerios, which I've never heard of.
Well, people do when they're potty training their children, you pee on a Cheerio.
Okay, all right. Well,
that's weird.
Anyway, she says, well, he, meaning the mayor of Duluth, he kind of peed in his Cheerios right now, and I'm definitely not going to do anything to benefit that community. He took to social media to promise residents that the Parkland Beach and Street Access area would remain public, because we're like, are they going to gate it all? Are people not going to be able to get in? Anyway, she told the Wall Street Journal, and this was the first she'd ever disclosed, that she was going to build homes for some relatives, open a coffee shop, and fund improvements to City Parkland. She said she also planned facilities for pickleball, basketball, and street hockey. But the mayor's comments, news coverage of the purchases, and online criticisms triggered a change of hearts. And she told the Wall Street Journal, the good plans I have down there for beautifying, updating, fixing up Park Point or putting up that sports court, forget it. There's another community out there with more welcoming people than that small-minded community.
First of all, why didn't you just release the plans of what she was going to do? People would have been excited.
Bingo. Exactly. Last fall.
Yeah.
Whenever it started.
Because there's been so much speculation. Who's buying it? What's happening? Are we going to lose our access? People just need to know.
So I called several of my Duluthians. No, several of my Duluthians, relatives and friends.
Okay.
To see, A, if they'd ever heard the expression of peeing in the Cheerios. Nobody had, but someone did wonder about the potty training.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only place I've ever heard.
Oh, I've heard it many, many times.
Have you?
Cheerios, Wheaties, peeing in someone's Wheaties. Yeah, absolutely.
I've never heard of it.
Must be, is it a sports analogy?
No, it's just like you're messing things up.
Okay.
If you had
it's
a nice bowl of Cheerios.
Disgusting thing to do. She's appalled.
Yeah.
She's appalled that the city wanted to know, what are you doing?
Right.
And anyway, called them small-minded. Well, let me tell you, Duluthians are saying goodbye and good riddance.
But who owns? How much of the property does she own?
Well, no. It's like less than 20 houses, I believe. But it's
substantial for the amount of houses there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so anyway, Duluth people, let's just say that the hubbub is goodbye. Don't let the lift bridge hit you in the arse when you leave. What's going to happen? Because you've got some empty lots.
Right.
And Duluth is like every other place, you know, with affordable housing and sometimes having homes that are on the older side that might be more affordable for people, and now those homes aren't there. So she was really contributing to
a lot of speculation.
Muck. Yeah. So but she gave the interview to the Wall Street Journal. They dropped it on Saturday. It went all around.
I saw it.
Yeah, you did.
And some headlines somewhere. I saw it yesterday.
Alan Dardian, 68, has been a Park Point resident for more than 35 years. He said if she'd just been up front,
we would have loved it.
With the Park Point Community Club, she would have gotten support. Her secretiveness about the plans is what led to all the rumors, much like Kensington Palace did with Kate. All that secretiveness.
Just be upfront.
Yeah.
Cancer was after, but be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Lordy.
Anyway, and another resident said he understands that people are private. He said, but people in Duluth don't want Park Point to become a haven of the rich who money their way into creating things as they wish. So anyway, and other people said, not Minnesota nice.
Wow. Peeing in the Cheerios. I've only heard that. So Grant knows what it is.
Duluth is never in a scandal. This is just like, you know, really something to me.
Sarah brought it up. She's a listener. She said, usually people say it to someone when being grumpy, who is peed in your Cheerios, like get over yourself. It's not that big of a deal.
Right.
In that terminology.
Months of wondering and speculating. All she ever had to do was tell us that.
Yeah, I agree.
More than 20 homes.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a big number. That's a big number.
Because there's how small Park Point is. What is that? 1.7 miles?
Yeah.
And that place doesn't need a coffee shop. It needs a grocery store, gas station.
And that site.
That went away several years ago.
All right. Well, now you should have been consulting with her, Lori.
I could have helped her manage this.
Why didn't she contact you?
But calling Duluth small-minded community is landing with a thud.
That would.
Just not real smart.
Wow, though. It's so funny that it would have just been such an easy fix. Just tell them these are my plans.
Yeah, I got great plans.
And intentions. I love, my family's loved it up here or something, and this is what we want to do. Mm. Weird.
Yeah.
I know. Anyway.
All right.
I just bring you a little escandalo from Duluth.
It's
courtesy of the Wall Street Journal of all places.
But I can hear the speculation going on, like, what's going on? Who's buying up these houses? Are they going to, you know, close it off? I mean, you would, because that's a sacred spot in Duluth.
It is.
It really is. And people would want access. All right. Thank you for the update.
You're welcome.
Wow.
And we are going to take a quick break. Can't get enough of.
Lori and Julia here for Tressler Law. And Lori and I, together, we've been through 3 divorces, and we've been doing ads with Ann Tressler for some time now. So there are a lot of things that we've learned over the years about the divorce process.
That's right, Julia. And probably the biggest decision you'll make after the big decision to split, of course, is choosing the right divorce attorney. Don't make the same mistakes I made.
Step 1 is choosing an attorney who only practices family law. There are so many intricacies in state law when it comes to divorce, and you want someone on your side that knows how to navigate all the possible scenarios.
Don't choose an attorney who only tells you what you want to hear. You want someone to tell you how the law works and helps you set realistic goals.
And of course, choose a divorce attorney that you're comfortable working with and that you trust. We've gotten to know Ann and her team of trustworthy attorneys, and she'll help you find the perfect one for your situation and budget.
Call Tressler Law for your free 1-hour divorce consultation. Find them online at TresslerLaw.com or use my talk keyword divorce.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, why are we playing that song, Grant?
That is All That's theme song, which was the one of the first songs that Dan Schneider started over at Nickelodeon. It was the teen sketch comedy show, just like SNL, but with young kids. And this is where it all started, no pun intended, being All That.
And what we're talking about is
Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, which even if you didn't watch Nickelodeon, you yourself as a person, you're aware of Nickelodeon, Kids' Choice Awards, Slime, the stars of the show, you know, stars of Nickelodeon. Famous ones have been Amanda Bynes,
Ariana Grande, Drake Bell, Josh Peck. I mean, Kenan Thompson, who's on SNL right now. I mean, he got his start on All That.
Jamie Lynn Spears. All kinds of people. So anyway, a friend of mine at the club, she's like, are you and Joey going to watch Quiet on the Set? I'm dying to hear somebody talk about it.
Because Grant watched it last week and told us about it. But we didn't watch it.
I knew I needed it over the weekend. And I knew because I knew that it was involving abuse of children, sexual assault. I knew I wouldn't be able to like watch all 4 episodes. But I asked Casey, would you want to watch this? Because he likes watching a documentary.
Sure.
And he said, well, I'll see if it, you know, intrigues me.
Okay.
And it is, I mean, to answer the question, should I watch it? I would say, yes, I think you should watch it because we were there, even though we didn't know it. If your kids were watching it or you were aware of it, we were like in a way getting groomed by it too. Like no one thought anything about the buckets of slime and the whole, you know what I mean? All these kind of things now that when you look back, so on this documentary, it really
is
start,
it like 4 parts or something? Or
4 one-hour parts. 4 one-hour. Dan Schneider, who it's not just an expose about him. There's actually the most shocking thing happens in the 3rd episode. But Dan Schneider, who was the big boy in Head of the Class, we saw him acting in Head of the Class. He is the one who starts, basically puts Nickelodeon on the map with all of these different TV shows. And these two reporters, these two women, their interest was triggered basically when this Brian Peck, who'd worked at Nickelodeon, was sentenced to a rather light sentence for all this lewd and lascivious behavior with someone under the age of 16, and but not rape or sexual assault or anything. And they were like, there had been other stories about what kind of environment Nickelodeon was, and Dan Schneider, there'd been kind of stories about like kind of a creepy guy. So anyway, they start this whole thing and they get the interest of a documentary filmmaker, and Quiet on the Set is started. And it's such a chilling experience to watch that show.
Oh yeah.
It really, really is about how, first of all, I got to say, I was so impressed with every one of the kids who are now all in their 30s that talked on camera.
Okay.
You know, Drake Bell, who is, we now know, is the person who was being raped and assaulted by Brian Peck, who only goes to prison for 16 months. That's and it. Dan Schneider's like, well, I didn't hire that guy. But Dan Schneider made people so uncomfortable on the set. He made two women on the Amanda Bynes show co-share a writer's salary, but none of the men had to. And
was he kind of a developer behind all the shows on
Nickelodeon?
He's
the creator.
He's the creator.
The Lorne Michaels. I don't want to compare the two because they're not.
That's just a way to put it.
That's a way to put it. He's the Lorne Michaels of Nickelodeon.
And I called Casey's daughter to ask her because she just turned 37. She said she watched all that because it was an SNL skit show.
Fantastic.
And a little bit of the Amanda Bynes show, but it felt even a little too like she was moving on and watching the Gilmore Girls with Casey and I and stuff, stuff like that. But everything on all these Dan Schneider shows was designed to show kids adult content without any appropriate boundaries, starring other children. And then dared you to find it funny, and then was mad if you didn't find it funny and accused you of, like, a couple of the kids, their moms were like, ah, I'm uncomfortable with some of this content. You want your kid to lose their job?
Exactly.
I mean, he was very intimidating. It's not against the law to be verbally or emotionally abusive. And that's what Dan Schneider, as he got more power, he started getting. It was, and it goes, it starts so like in the early, goes back to the early 90s when he was first hired at Nickelodeon, all the way to present day, to these journalists, Scotchy Cool and Kate Taylor. And they provide the context for the storytelling. And then the, you know, Jeanette McCurdy, one of the stars of iCarly, claimed in her best-selling 2022 memoir, I'm Glad My Mom Died, that Nickelodeon offered her what amounted to hush money to prevent her from going public with her experiences. And she refers to Dan Schneider in the book as the creator.
Yeah, and she was one of the only ones, I told you when we were talking about it last week, because Nickelodeon actually honored Dan Schneider at the Nickelodeon, whatever they are, Kids' Choice Awards.
Yes.
And they honored Dan and all kinds of people. One not up there was Kenan Thompson, and the other notable name was her. And she refused to go up on stage and honor him because she was, a lot of these kids at the time, and like you said, these childhood actors who are now speaking about it, they just didn't realize it at that time.
Because they're kids.
Yeah.
11, 12, 13.
And then the parents that did realize it, like you said, who actually stood up for them, they threatened them. And then that put a divide between the kid and the parent.
Well, it did in the case of Drake Bell. And that was probably the most heartbreaking thing, is Drake Bell's father did not get a good vibe from Brian Peck, didn't want his son being around him. And now Drake is in... Drake is going to be in Drake and Josh, and it's kind of his dream because he's been there for like 4 years, but his dad doesn't like Brian Peck.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Brian Peck then starts saying your dad is really a drag and doing that, trying to get distance between the dad and he and the mom and dad.
And so with these people, was this Brian Peck
sodomized.
Yes.
Oh. Absolutely horrible. He spent 16 months in prison. You can't believe the people who wrote letters. James Marsden, Taryn Killam. I mean, over 100 Hollywood stars. Nobody's saying a thing. and everybody's silent on their socials.
And prior to him being arrested, he told everybody that he was pen pals with John Wayne Gacy and had an obsession with John Wayne Gacy. And nobody blinked an eye.
It's something, it's compelling to watch. It's disturbing, but it's important to watch. Okay. And it's called Quiet on the Set.
Quiet on the Set. And now these adult survivors tell their stories. It's just, it's very compelling. I would say it would be triggering, of course, if... and Nickelodeon gave just crap response, and Drake Bell has spoken about it. They gave the same legal response to every single question.
Yep.
They're in hot water.
And they paid Dan Schneider $7.5 million to walk away.
Yeah.
They paid him to just go away.
Yeah. And and the shows are re-airing, and all these kids are paying for their own therapy, and just, unbelievable what's happened to them. And Drake Bell participated because the filmmaker really impressed him with how sensitive he was.
I gotta watch this. It sounds disturbing, but it, compelling and interesting, and like you said,
and we know all the thing, and it didn't make a dent in Hollywood in like 2004. I mean, it was just like
nuts.
It really is something to look back on.
All right,
thank you for that breakdown.
Hey everybody, it's Lori and Julia here for Chanhassen Dinner Theaters, and we're so happy to tell you about the great things going on at the Chan. It's such a fun place to celebrate, to enjoy people, and they have fabulous entertainment. The vibe there is sort of classic, supper club, and you can order a fabulous cocktail, maybe coconut shrimp app, which is so good, before your dinner arrives. Leave room for dessert because I love a grasshopper, Lori.
Oh, yeah. It's
and
so good.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy the big Broadway hit, Beautiful, the Carole King musical. A cast of 29 will blow you away with dancing and singing and acting. And it's the story that you never knew, but you need to know. It's so good.
Yeah, some of the music, Will You Love Me Tomorrow, So Far Away, Natural Woman, I Feel the Earth Move, One Fine Day, The Locomotion on Broadway. I mean, it is. And then they have all these different talented people singing these different songs. It's a blast.
It's so fun. They also have great concerts at the Chan and Stevie Ray's Comedy Cabaret. Visit chanhassendt.com for more info.
Oh my God, brutal story I was reading yesterday.
Brutal.
In the music.
The reason no one cares about Bennifer anymore.
No one cares about Bennifer anymore, and there's no interest in the two of them as a couple. And that's why all the videos
she
did.
This is now the greatest love story ever told.
And the documentary.
I like the documentary.
I know, but there was
no reason to do it.
There was nothing. No album. I mean, Justin Timberlake is no one has any love for
his music
for him either. This is the lowest selling albums of either of their careers. It's like
it's interesting because you were just talking about Keith Urban is coming out with a new album and how we're excited about that.
But he always refreshes his own stuff. You know, he's always, and he has an inspired fan base.
Yes,
we've never had a reason to hate him.
His concerts
sell out. One of the best guitar players.
His
concerts sell out. You know, I mean, it's, you know, J-Lo hasn't had a hit since Pitbull's, and we played a lot on this station in 2007, On the Floor. Great banger.
And we went to the concert with
great show.
Yes, at Target Center.
But I mean, it's just been that. But people, don't care about Bennifer, them as a couple of, we're just happy they're, don't blow it, J-Lo. Because I used to always worry Ben would blow it.
Mm-hmm.
But she had me worried for a second that she was going to blow it. But anyway, and Justin Timberlake, I mean, there's just no, there's no coming back for it unless he gets serious with a PR crisis team and he truly well owns up to his privileged ass behavior about everything from Britney to Janet Jackson. And I don't see him doing that. So they're just going to limp along. Even Man of the Woods outsold this.
That was
so bad.
You know, let's go back to J-Lo for a second, then we'll go to Justin. So this was an article, you know, that was in over the weekend in Page Six in the New York Post, talking about her former publicist said that this is Jennifer Lopez's biggest miscalculation, because she still thinks the word is interested in Ben and Jennifer's love story.
No.
And she goes on to say that Ben Affleck is her Achilles heel. And I'm wondering if that's the breakdown with Leah Remini.
You bet.
Some other things. And then her former publicist, Rob Schutter, says it was her first album in 10 years. It's a flop because no one cares about them. And he goes on to credit Jennifer and says she's always been a marketing and PR genius. Yes. But again, her biggest miscalculation here is she thinks we're still interested in their love story, but we've all moved on.
I mean, even you and I, who were loving the love story, were getting tired by the fourth wedding reception or whatever happened. You know, I mean,
in the video.
No, in real life.
Yeah, they have like the Georgia party.
They didn't care about those.
It was like, and we're the audience.
You're right, Lori. You are right. Cause I'm like, again? Come on.
That was a lot.
And then going on to say that not only has the album been the huge failure, I really like the documentary. I kind of did, and it gave us a different peek. I kind of thought it was interesting how it was made, was done. Got a peek into Jen and Ben, because I'm
still...
Were you
surprised at how much she swore?
She swore a lot, and how much she paid. How much money she spent. Mm-hmm. And then, but they...
$20 million.
Yep, but a veteran in the music industry, an insider who's worked with some of the biggest stars in music history, says if they're canceling tour dates, which they are for Jennifer Lopez... Mm-hmm. With someone at her level, it's bad. It's really, really, really bad.
Yeah.
That's the big blow is that.
But she added shows in Miami. She added a show in New York. I could have probably told J-Lo that, like, if she wanted to go out on tour for this thing, like, I would have done theaters, like, of, you know...
The Fitzgerald, the Orpheum, or the State.
Kind of do something really incredible.
Cool and acoustic and unplugged or something different, yeah.
Because when we've seen her, and I've seen her 3 times and enjoyed the hell out of the show, but she has always been with one or two other people. One time with Pitbull, one time with Enrique Iglesias.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember the other time if it was who it was with, but
she was Shakira at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Anyway. So anyway,
I don't think she's letting it get her down.
That's what they basically are saying is she's wanting to move on.
Yeah, she'll
And
just
what's
move
$20 million
on.
To someone who has a gazillion?
Yeah.
She's more focused on moving on. She's probably disappointed, but she has a music film adaptation of Kiss the Spider Woman.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's working.
Yeah, okay.
And she's got several more film projects in the works. She'll focus on that.
Yeah, good.
She's clearly got a big ego. I'm sure it's bruised, but I don't think she'll be devastated. She can move on.
And I think Ben will keep, you know, he doesn't care about Bennifer anymore, so he's relieved.
Probably.
And he's keeping her grounded.
Yeah.
And you could see that, and that was kind of the cute part for us who did still have an interest in Bennifer 2.0, because we did.
Yeah, of course.
It's kind of fun to see
them.
We were
so happy. We wanted them to get married and all of that.
That was kind of fun for us.
Love it.
Okay, so now let's go to Justin Timberlake, JT.
Yeah, poor JT. Well, not really.
Is it really?
I didn't mean that. That's just insincere. Poor JT. No, that was a Minnesota nice.
Yes, it was.
Passive aggressive.
Yes, it was. Oh, darling.
And then let me ask you guys this, because there's such mixed feelings about Michael Jackson, the touring show, the Broadway show Michael Jackson, or the movie that they're going to be doing.
The movie people need to maybe get excited because of the talent that's involved with the movie. Just the period of time that it is.
Miles Teller's is in it. He plays Jackson, Michael Jackson's attorney.
Heck yeah.
Coleman Domingo, Nina Long played Joe and Katherine Jackson.
Amazing.
And then who were the two that were just cast?
Well, Kat Graham was just cast to play Diana Ross, and Lorenz Tate, whom I know and love from Power, is going to play Barry Gordy. And of course, Barry Gordy meets Michael Jackson when he's 5 years old.
Yeah.
He's instrumental, and then
in the Jackson 5,
and then somebody good is playing Quincy Jones, Kendrick Sampson.
Yep,
he was on Insecure, he's playing Quincy
he's
Jones because
so
Quincy Jones does Off the Wall, Thriller, and Bad, those three seminal albums of Michael Jackson's career. The people who brought us Bohemian Rhapsody is producing the movie.
Yep.
So the costuming, the money.
It's going to examine his triumphs, tragedies, from this human side to his public, to his private struggles, to the accusations, to the 24/7 microscope on him.
Yeah.
And even his artistic apex. So yeah. We'll see.
And then Jessica Sula is going to be LaToya Jackson. And of course, this is years ago, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s. So LaToya is just beautiful. She hasn't done all the bad plastic surgery.
Her nose hasn't turned into a little.
Yeah. Little ski jump. Then his nephew is playing him. Mm-hmm. We're not going to see this until April 18th of 2025. If you'd like to mark your calendar.
Get it out right now.
Right now. And then Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. You know what I've enjoyed about this kind of season two of the romance is that after the high heat of the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. it's gone low key.
Yeah.
Quiet.
They're in the waves together.
Just like in a real romance because they've probably been together 9 months. This is when you move out of the honeymoon thing and into the relaxed thing of, yeah. wow, we're really doing this mm-hmm. and we really like
playing
each other.
Playing in waves in the Bahamas.
Yeah, we posted those photos and now they can set the tone for the serious and be kind of quiet season, part one of season two of TNT Romance. And then in 3 weeks when Tortured Poets Department comes out, on the day of the shot heard around the world, the bullet that started the Revolutionary War.
419.
Yeah.
1775.
Her new album comes out.
Yeah.
Tortured Poets Department. And she's probably prepping him on all the sus that's going to be out there because so much of that album's about her former boyfriend.
Yes.
And what is the one thing that people, but they've been together long enough, but one of the early turnoffs, early dating.
You get sick of hearing about the person.
You don't ever want to hear about the exes. Yeah. Keep that to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Now you're curious for a little while and then it's like, ah.
And we have three sleeps till Beyonce, Cowboy Carter.
What do you mean? It's coming out in 3 days?
Yeah, 29th.
Oh, I love it. We have three sleeps. That's like if Christmas. You're sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
three sleeps.
That's a Casey and I always laugh about that. Three sleeps till we go on a trip.
Yeah.
I don't know why we just do the countdown at three. Yeah.
Well, because before that, it's exciting at three. Four is too far out.
Right.
Five, yeah.
I think he might have done it with his kids
that
or something.
That sounds like a kid thing.
It's like Christmas. Three sleeps till Christmas.
Yeah. Right. I've never.
Christmas Eve.
Anyway, three sleeps till Cowboy Carter, which is going to be so good.
It's going to be so amazing. Good.
And that Madonna concert you were talking about, mm-hmm. it will be when she brings that to the Copacabana Beach on May 4th. It will be a historic concert because, A, it's free.
Yes.
And it's expected to be her biggest show of all time because I don't know that she's ever played there.
Oh. The Belmond Copacabana Palace Hotel.
It'll be the entire beach. Yeah, I mean, it'll be
in front of that hotel on the beach is what they're saying.
Yeah, and I don't know what it holds, but it's first come, first serve. Yeah.
That's an interesting take. You kind of
You'll just have to register. And she's ending up, you know, she's in Mexico City. She's doing 5 nights in Mexico City.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is she almost done?
She's almost done.
Okay.
She will be done on May 4th. And the celebration tour, she's got a show in Dallas tonight and tomorrow night. Then she's moving on to Houston. I sincerely hope Beyonce goes. That'd be amazing. Then she's going to Austin, then Atlanta, and heading to Miami for 3 nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
She's 2 nights and then a day off and then one.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a lot of tape.
What do you mean? The tape on her ankles?
On her knees. Yeah. On her knees.
Ferrotape.
And you know what? Yesterday, Julia, I went to a class because I've been thinking about, you know, the ways that Madonna and I are alike.
This is classic. Okay, this is good.
Well, you know, there's not much age separation between us.
Uh-huh.
And I've always admired her, but I went to a class yesterday that involved lunging and getting on steps. And about a year and a half ago,
you quit that.
I had to quit that. And you know who had to tell me that? Is I had to have our physical massage lady.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
She said to me, Lori, how long have you been doing high impact aerobics?
Yeah. It's
and I said,
after
since
a while.
I was 25. She goes, do you care to do the math on that? And I said, no, I do not care to do the math
years?
On that. and she said, that repetitive high intensity. And then she said, if you are a dancer, which Madonna always has been, you carry even more extreme energies than just a regular person who is a disciplined, you know,
it hurts your knees is what you're saying.
Knees, T-bands, you know, all this stuff. And I just thought, Good for you, Madonna, for dancing in a box, hanging on to a ballet bar. That's my kind of dancing.
I knew it. There we go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. I watched a show that we were not going to watch, and I liked it. When we come back, this is Lori and Julia on My Talk. Hey, gang, it's Lori and Julia here for Learning Our Acts. And, you know, we just love learning our acts. We love hearing from the families of the people that have been affected by going through the program and the changes and the confidence it brings out in people and how people can learn and enjoy reading and going to school and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, because people really do worry. They're like, what, how is this going to affect if this is this bad now?
I know. And a lot of people kind of ask about, like, you know, cognitive defects. Can these go away? Mm-hmm. And the answer is they're not just something that you grow out of or will drastically change without outside intervention. This is processing. This is sounding out words. This is hearing words. This is being able to build on things and having short-term and long-term memory working. But without therapy, cognitive training, that can't come back without work. And that's what they do through one-on-one brain training. It works. Call for an assessment today. It's 50% off when you mention Lori and Julia. A lot of tennis. The Miami Open is going on this weekend.
Oh, yeah? Isn't there a lot of basketball, too?
Yes, there was tons of basketball. I think tonight, Iowa Hawkeyes, Caitlin Clark is playing again tonight at like 8 o'clock. Yeah. They killed the first team, but there's a lot. Mm-hmm. But a lot of tennis. And I was watching Grant kind of wake himself up, kind of hitting his arm or something. Naomi Osaka is back, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And she does this thing to the top of her hip to wake her legs up. Come on.
You know who's doing that right now? Diddy, as the FBI raids all three of his homes.
Oh, we knew this was coming.
Yeah, LA, New York, and Miami have been raided by federal agents.
Yeah, he's done. I mean, this is...
Wow.
There's been multiple women. I mean, after the first one, it ended, within like a week, which was way too suspicious because...
Because he paid her off.
What's her name? She had so much...
She had $31 million, I remember.
Cassidy, is that her name?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so.
She had a lot of evidence.
And then there was two more, I believe, that came up, two other allegations. And
there's helicopters.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, he's...
There's a lot of stuff.
Not good. Not good for the
multiple
old dentist.
Multiple allegations, several civil suits, including, it's bad. I hope his daughters are away on spring break somewhere.
Yes,
not at one of the homes.
Yes,
no kidding.
Call.
I just saw Law and Order Organized Crime or SVU this weekend, and the police raided, and the kids were home before they went on break. It was quite traumatic for everybody.
Oh, that would be quite traumatic.
Yeah.
That would be quite traumatic. All right, so we have talked about Mauricio Umansky, who's Kyle Richards' husband and the father of four of the five girls that she has, and how he originally was part of Rick Hilton's real estate company, and then they left.
Hilton and Highland. It sounds like a fancy law firm.
It totally does, Lori. Mm-hmm. It totally does. Hilton and Highland.
Mauricio is probably like 12 years younger, 15 years younger than Rick Hilton. Yeah. So he was hired as a young guy with no
experience, but was selling a lot and thought he should have an ownership share. He's married to the sister.
Yeah.
And he was selling a lot. Mm-hmm. So he had a big thing. So he went off and started up his own.
Did you ever think about selling houses? I could see you being very good at it.
Way back in the day.
Yeah.
And then I have a good friend who did it. And then I watched her with the phone calls.
Yeah.
And the weekends.
God, I knew a couple of people who were so good at it, though.
I wanted to do that years ago.
Yeah.
I wanted to start my pickleball club during COVID. I should have done that. I mean, there were a lot of things.
CEO, all right.
We'll see. But anyway, back to this.
Back to Mauricio.
So his show.
Did it drop this weekend?
Last week. It's called The Agency. And it's in season two.
Buying Sunset.
No, that's a different show.
Oh.
Buying Sunset is a different show.
Got it.
And it's real estate porn. It's beautiful people
and
selling.
What is his show called?
The Agency.
It's just, that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Three times now.
Yeah, that's a bad name.
That's the name of his real estate group. It's called The Agency.
That's the name of the streaming TV show.
It's The Agency.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's Mauricio Umansky. So here's what was compelling is it's all of his daughters. They're all involved. And we sit around that, you know, we know Kyle with the daughters. And we've seen those daughters grow up on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But this is the daughters in business.
It's called Buying Beverly Hills, and it features his agency.
Is it really called?
It's called Buying Beverly Hills.
Well, no wonder. But I have it as the agency.
That's the name of his agency, the agency.
Buying
Some would
Beverly
call
Hills.
That small calling it, just literally, but it's called, so people can find it, Buying Beverly Hills. Two times. Yeah.
It says it right here, Laura. Okay, season two just happened. But so we kind of thought he's a dank. We saw him on Dancing with the Stars. We saw, you know,
Mauricio has been a stoner. I could never figure out what the attraction was. And I thought, well, she's obviously still attracted to him. That's what the attraction is. And now she's no longer. Kyle Richards is so done with him.
She's so done with him. But every single one of their kids works in this agency. Yeah, they're all real estate agents. Yeah. It's pretty good. I like real estate porn. I like looking in these homes. I like seeing what they're trying to do.
Did he come off like a doofus?
I didn't think so.
Okay.
I didn't think so. I even got to the one where they're all sitting around Aspen and talking about mom and I are not getting along anymore. Mm. The cut that we've all seen.
Okay, so they've all dropped. And I've got to check this out. I'll like it because I know the reality players.
You know the people involved, and there's, you know, the girl, the women, his children, Farrah, Alexa, Sophia, are all trying to get respect when their dad owns the agency.
They're Nepo real estate babies.
And this other lady was having this good fight with him. But I like looking at the homes. Yeah. I like looking at, listening to the conversations. Right. It was fun.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of fun.
More fun than Selling Sunset, because I know the players.
Well, we knew, Selling Sunset. I watched it for a hot second.
I watched, but I liked that other show, the about the rich Asians
Beverly
Hills, whatever. Crazy, I can't remember.
But that didn't have anything to do with real estate.
It did, because they all had amazing
What was that called?
Well, Crazy Rich Asians was the movie.
I know, but then Anna died, the Russian Chinese, the really, really rich.
It was fun.
That one I liked because we were going to fancy hotels, fancy houses. So I'm going to try this.
I liked it, Lori.
Yeah.
And
I heard that Kyle is giving more.
Bling Empire?
Yes, that was it.
Thank you.
Love that show.
Yep.
But Kyle was being more forthcoming on Buying Beverly Hills than she was on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
And I have not even really seen her on it yet.
If Andy is pissed because she was so standoffish about everything Mauricio, she gave the goods to this show.
All of her kids are involved. I mean,
it's okay. Your kids can still be involved. I do think Kyle is in the delicate situation of she's had to hire a law firm who's had to hire a forensic accountant.
Yeah, they have.
And I'll bet you Rick Hilton is advising her. And don't think that he was in that 3-year lawsuit with a fraudulent real estate deal in Malibu, that didn't set some. Being mad at your husband,
Let me just go back to this for a hot second. She's really not that involved in this. The thing that I feel where the untangling is going to be hard, because what we heard Paris Hilton say last week about her uncle, who is Mauricio, it's her uncle, because all of her cousins work for the competing agency of her dad's.
Yeah.
So I can see why this has just been a quagmire, like a very uncomfortable situation for everybody.
12 years.
Yep. But I liked the girls. I think that her girls, Farrah, Brittany, Alexa.
They look so much like, they sound like her if you close your eyes.
And if you watch the mannerisms, I mean, it's totally her. Yeah. It's kind of fun. Anyway, I just thought it was kind of fun. Something different. All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is Lori and Julia. My Talk. We'll be right back.